In our modern world, the subject of identity often comes up. In many ways, I have seemed to notice that this has been an increasing trend in recent years, to define oneself by a certain action that one engages in. Seems like that in this 21st century, we hear a lot of, this is who I am. This is me. This is how I define myself. And I'm sure, as Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10 reminds us, there's nothing new under the sun. This has been going on since the beginning of time. But it does seem to be a popular way through which we interpret our lives. And there are certainly many forms. I don't have an official list or anything. But I think there's probably certain forms that and ways that we seek to identify ourselves. Here are just a few. And again, I emphasize simply just a few. I am what I have, my material possessions. I am what I do, my job, my career. I am what others say or think about me. I am who I sleep with. I am even things such as my sports team. People get wrapped up in that sort of thing. We probably could add political party to that as well. I am the relationship that I am in. There are a host of ways, and this is just a sampling, of ways that people identify themselves. They choose one aspect of their life, and this is the most important aspect, and this is the lens through which they see everything else. And it seems, not to necessarily pick on anyone in particular, but it seems like often things that God does not approve of carry this particular idea. The homosexual movement, this is who I am, and this is how I define myself, and it colors everything about them. And I think that probably for most of us, we have something that defines us, something that is significant about us. But the problem is, when we define ourselves in these particular ways, it is going to end very poorly. Let's take the first, I am what I have, I am material possessions. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells the parable that we went over not too long ago in our Bible class about the rich man whose fields bore fruit abundantly. And so what does he do? He decides that he's going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns in Luke chapter 12. And then he is prepared and he is ready. He can sit back and relax because he has goods laid up for years. He feels he is now taken care of because of his physical possessions. That doesn't end too well for him. In Luke 12 and verse 21, as God calls him into account that evening. In Luke chapter 18, in verses 18 through 34, the rich young ruler asks Jesus the most important question about eternal life. And Jesus tells him that he must forsake all that he has, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And he just can't do that. He defined himself by what he owned, by his wealth, and he couldn't imagine parting with it. And it led him to refuse to follow Jesus. Some may define themselves by their religious attitude. And thus in Matthew chapter 6, their religion is done to be praised by others. And so when they give, really it's just to get other people's attention. When they pray, it's to be praised. When they fast, it's so that people will think that they are so spiritual. And so some practice religion to be applauded by others, and yet they are not going to be rewarded by God. It is interesting, in Matthew 23, Jesus rebukes the religious leaders because they love and seek after the praise of everyone around them. In Matthew 23, Jesus pronounces a series of woes upon them. And in Matthew 23, in verses 6 and 7, it says, they love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplace and being called rabbi by men. This is what defines them. They need other people's praise. They need other people to brag on them. That is what is most important to them. And so they're always looking for the seat of honor. They're always looking to be recognized for who they are. When Paul spoke of his former life in Judaism, he described it as advancing in his position, and he had an impressive resume from a physical perspective, and yet it was nothing that God was pleased with. And so we might define ourselves by our advancements. We might define ourselves by our resume, by our qualifications. And we might view ourselves as impressive. And yet that is a poor way to identify ourselves, at least according to God. So what is an identity, and what makes it so central? Well, first of all, an identity is something that is very specific. It is something that pinpoints what is most important to us or about us. It is extremely specific. An identity is well known about us. Our identity is not a hobby. It's not something we do on the side. It's not something that we do on occasion. It's not something that a few people who know us know about, but nobody else does. No, our identity is something that is well known to everyone. When the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1 talked about his former life in Judaism, he says, you know, other people can testify to this life that I led. Everyone knows what gets our focus and energy and the way that we define ourselves. An identity is central to our lives. It is the single most important thing which gets our attention, our effort, and our energy. I want you to listen to this quote from Benjamin Newman, who wrote this in the New York Times. This is just a snippet. He says, when good writing was my only goal in life, I made the quality of my work the measure of my worth. For this reason, I was not able to read my own writing to tell if something I had written was good or bad. I needed it to be good in order to feel sane. But I lost the ability to cheerfully interrogate how much I liked what I had written, to see what was actually on the page rather than what I would have liked to have seen or what I feared to see. Central to this character's life was his writing. And that is a stark statement. I made the quality of my work the measure of my worth. This is what was most important to him. And so everything revolved around him being a good writer. It was the most important thing. And so it controlled everything about him. Identity makes unique demands of us. The identity that we choose tells us what we need to prioritize, how we need to act, how we need to respond to the group around us. If our identity is in material possessions, then we are never going to have enough. Turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. In Ecclesiastes 5, Solomon says this. Ecclesiastes 5 in verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves an abundance with his income. This too is vanity. If our identity is found in that, we're always going to have to be getting more and more and more, and we're going to have to surround ourselves with people who agree. We can't listen to people who tell us to be generous, to give, not to be greedy. No, this is the most significant and important thing in our life, and so it tells us what to prioritize, how to act, and who to associate ourselves with. So what about us? Where is our identity found? And what difference will it make in our life? Well, I imagine most of you who are here tonight would identify yourself as the most significant thing about your life would be that you were a Christian. In Acts 11 and verse 26, they were first called Christians in Antioch. Christianity has been referred to a variety of ways throughout Acts chapter 1 through 10, one of which in chapter 9 is simply the way. But in Acts chapter 11, people are beginning to be identified as Christians. And probably that was not a compliment that was meant to connect them with the Jesus who was a condemned Roman criminal. But this is who they were. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, they were Christians. But if our identity is found in Christ, what is that going to look like? Let's go over these four points again. First of all, if our identity is found in Christ, that is certainly specific. And that highlights what should be most important in our life. It should be the lens through which we see everything. How do we interpret the world? How do we interpret modern events? We interpret them through how Jesus told us to treat others, how Jesus told us to live in this world. But does this really define us? Does our Christian faith really highlight who we are? Is it really that we have become so lost in Christ that people recognize this is who we follow? Are we truly devoted, or is it just a hobby? So our identity is specific. But our identity is supposed to be well known. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, we read the story about the arrest of a couple of the apostles. In this case, James and John. Excuse me, Peter and John. Peter and John have gone to the temple to pray, and they healed a lame man. This is egregious to many because they are teaching in the name of Jesus. And so the Sadducees have them arrested. They put them on trial, and Peter gives a firm speech filled with the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is the reason that this man has been given the power to stand. He speaks about Jesus and that there is salvation in no one else. and 4 and verse 12, except in Jesus Christ. So Acts 4 and verse 13, what is it that these men notice about Peter and John? Notice in 4 and verse 13, now they observed the confidence of Peter and John, and they understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they were amazed and began to recognize they had been with Jesus. They just healed a man who was lame from his birth, a man who at the end of chapter 4 is going to be said who was about 40 years old in verse 22. And yet the council doesn't highlight that they're able to work this miracle. They recognize that, but that's not what they identify about these people that's most significant about them. They hear that they are able to speak and that they are eloquent, but that's not what they identify as most important about them. No, in verse 13, what is most important, what is easiestly recognizable about these individuals is they have spent time with Jesus. I don't know how well that they knew the apostles at this particular point in their life and their ministry. They surely had run-ins with them, with Jesus. But the thing that they pinpoint the most is that their identity is wrapped up in their Savior. In Acts chapter 25, as Paul stands trial, in Acts chapter 25, summarizing some of the events of the previous trial that has taken place between Paul and the Jews. It says in Acts chapter 25, they just had some disputes about their own law and about a dead man named Jesus that Paul asserted to be alive. The reason Paul was on trial was for the resurrection of Jesus. You can see that in chapter 23, chapter 24, chapter 26, and chapter 28. And even the Romans that Paul stands before recognize this about him. This guy follows Jesus. Whatever the other charges against him are, what is most significant about this guy is that he claims to follow Jesus Christ. The apostles' identity in Jesus was well known. What is the most well-known thing about us as we encounter people in our life? Is the most well-known thing about us our job, our possessions, our hobbies? Or is the most well-known thing about us that we are followers of Jesus Christ? If that fact is ever obscured from the world that we associate with, how much can we say our identity is wrapped up in Jesus? Identity is something that is central to your life. It is the single most important thing, and everything else pales in comparison. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes this starting in verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 11. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing again is no trouble to me and is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more.
circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I might gain Christ and might be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul says, you know, there's a lot of things that could define me. He lists some of his qualifications, which would have been very impressive in Judaism. And he says, but all of that, verse 8, is lost. And not only that, but notice in verse 8, he has suffered the loss of all things. Paul will later say that he knows how to get along in humble means and he knows how to get along in prosperity. He knows to want. And he says, you know, I've lost a lot for the Lord, but that doesn't even matter to me. Because the central, most important thing is not what I own, it's not my resume, it's not anything about me. It's that I have a relationship. I know my Lord and my Savior. And you see, that's the only thing I'm striving for. Verse 10 and verse 11, the resurrection is what Paul looks forward to. Everything else is worthless and meaningless to me. It's just rubbish if it's not Jesus Christ. That's an identity that is central to your life. Imagine losing all that you have, all that you worked for, all of your life. And when asked how you feel, saying, I have that which is most important, and that is Jesus. Is that our response? Is that the centrality of the gospel to our life? You know, one of the things that has become increasingly obvious to me as I interact and hear about people who identify in some of the ways that we talked about earlier in the lesson, is that identity really makes demands of us. If we identify a certain way, there's a certain way that we're going to act and a certain way we're going to live. And so to identify as a Christian indeed makes unique demands of us. We are to be a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. We are defined as children of God, John 1 and verse 12 is just one of a host of passages that state that. If we're followers of Jesus, should we not have the same emphasis that He had in this life to seek and to save those who are lost, Luke 19 and verse 10, to serve others, Matthew 20 and verse 28, in
In Matthew 5 and Luke 6, Jesus calls us not only to love those who love us, but to pray for our enemies. He calls us to do good to those who hurt us, to return good for evil, return good for the evil that they have done to us, and to pick up our cross and to follow after Him. Those are just a handful of the claims that Christianity makes on my life. So as we think about our identity, and as we might, as a knee-jerk reaction, be desirous to say that we identify as Christian, then ask yourselves, is my identity as in Christ well known to those who surround me? Is that truly the most central part of my life? And does the identity that I have taken on, am I really living up to the unique demands that Christ has made of me? Bow with me, please. Oh Lord, You are great and You are holy and You are awesome. You are King of kings and You are Lord of lords. Lord, as we consider all of the things that distract us and call for our attention, that tell us to make this the most significant and important thing, we ask that You give us wisdom to know best how to redeem our time, to do all of the things that You have called us to do, so that we might fulfill the demands that we have here in this life, but that our attention and our focus and our eyes always be on You. Lord, as we consider what it means to carry Your name, help us, as we bear witness to the world, to be a true reflection of Your people. Help us to bear the attributes that You have called us to do. Help us not to neglect, but to truly follow Your command. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if there is any in the audience who need to come forward and to make their life right with the Lord, our song of invitation is number 120. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing.